This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 8 and 1 half after 6 on this Thursday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. And it's time now for part 1 of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off on your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from yesterday, July corn was up 3/4 to 369.5. September corn was up a penny to 378.25. And December corn was up a penny as well to 388.75. July beans were up 4 cents to 835.5. August beans were up 4 to 842. And September beans were up 4 as well to 848. Moving on to wheat for July, that was up a quarter to 448.75. September wheat was up a quarter to 456.25. And December wheat was down a quarter to 470.5. Soybean meal for July was up $1.80 to $2.99.80. August bean meal was up $1.70 to $3.01.20. And September bean meal was up $1.80 to $3.03. Finally, July bean oil was up 24 cents to 27.24. August bean oil was up 24 cents as well to 27.37. And September bean oil was also up 24 cents to 27.50. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend for Purby, the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. Forecast of more moisture pointed grain values higher today. Corn was up for the third consecutive day and soybeans the second. In northern western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 3 cents at 326 to 353. Soybeans bids are 2 to 4 higher at 749 to 786. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 336 to 353. Soybeans bids are 3 to 4 higher at 767 to 797. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to 4 cents higher, 329 to 367. Soybean bids were up 5 to 7 at 770 to 814. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 to 7 higher at 802 to 811. Basis was steadied up 3 at 3400 to 2500 in July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 278.80 to 291.80 a ton, with basis unchanged to down 3 at 2100 to 8 under the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 3 cents higher, 352 to 347, with basis unchanged up 2 at 1800 to 1 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted to produce the corn bids a penny higher, 351 to 356, with basis steady at 1900 to 1400 the July. Soybeans ended up 4 to 8 cents at $8 to 806, with basis unchanged up 4 at 3600 to 30 under the July. New crop wheat prices are mostly steady at 419 to 442, with basis unchanged at 3000 to 700 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids a penny higher at 375 to 376. These elevators raise their soybean prices 4 cents, quotations at 828 to 829. Soft wheat closed steady to a penny higher at 477 to 479. Milo ended the day up a penny at 397 to 395. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 332 to 360 and soybeans at 774 to 805. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 347 to 363, soybeans at 791 to 817. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 320 to 364, soybeans at 782 to 813, and June-July wheat at 423 to 457. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle gained 17 cents yesterday to 109.67. August live cattle were up 25 cents to 106.97. And October live cattle were up 27 cents to 106.75. Moving on to May feeder cattle, they lost 7 cents to 135.72. August feeders were down 22 cents to 142.27. Moving on to lean hogs for June, they gained $2.70 to 91.82. July lean hogs were up $1.87 to 91.92, In August, lean hogs were up $1.45 to $92.62. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield one more time this morning for yesterday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Started the National Daily Direct Hog Report. Calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 22 cents lower. In a range of $72 to $85 with a weighted average carcass price of $81.79. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady to a dollar lower. With good demand for moderate offerings, U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 50 to 54. 4 to 5 weighted 52 to 56. 5 to 6 weighted 55 to 62 and over 600 pounds, $58 to $64. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were a dollar higher, with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from $52 to $58. Receipts for our Illinois barrels and gilts have a total of $20,040. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $115 to $119, and on a dress basis at $183 to $189. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $115 to $118 and on a dress basis at $186 to $189. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 327 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $86.81, which is $1.83 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses are $219.57, which is 55 cents lower, while select carcasses are $208.04, which is 93 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000 compared to 122,000 last week and 120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 460,000 compared to 473,000 last week and 458,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. By Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. By the Litchfield National Bank. And by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. And for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show, I had the opportunity to talk with Caleb May of Farm Credit Illinois. Caleb is now the new regional manager of the Taylorville office of Farm Credit and is working alongside longtime regional manager Dan Pollack. In our interview, Caleb and I talked about his time with Farm Credit and how those preventive planting dates for corn and soybeans are fast approaching.
May 1st was the first day I was officially named the regional manager here in Taylorville. Really excited about the opportunity to come here and grew up, was raised, and spent a lot of my time and my life in Christian County. So the locality of the position is really great. Been with Farm Credit for a few years now. Most recently served as a product and training specialist, specifically helping lead and assist our crop insurance agency. So solely focused on crop insurance in the past with Farm Credit. So this job allows me to move over and also assist farmers from not only the crop insurance perspective, but also from the lending and financial services perspective as well. So really excited to be the regional manager here in Taylorville. Great group of folks here. So come by and see us anytime.
And moving on with that, especially in the crop insurance side of everything, we're getting into where this time of year where preventive and delayed planting is kind of being an issue. Not a lot of crops have been put in the ground yet, so where does Farm Credit come into play with this situation?
Well, I'll tell you what, Gabe, you're absolutely right. It's every day that goes by, it seems to be more and more of a concern. Just across our 60-county area in which we serve, farmers, there's a lot of variability in terms of yield potential, in terms of soil types and things like that. But the one thing this year that seems to that everybody has in common is there's just not a whole lot planted. You know, we saw the progress report come out here on Monday with 11% planted, and you know, some might say that's a generous number considering the 5-year average is 82%. So we're a long way behind. Crop insurance does provide some support there, but there's there's a lot of things you have to understand about the differences between a delayed planted crop and a prevented planted crop. So there's a lot of dates that come into play there, and we as a Farm Credit can help, or your crop insurance agent can help as well there. Some of the things, let's just talk about corn specifically. That seems to be the thing that most folks are concerned about. We do have a final plant date of June 5th in our area for corn. And really what that means is June 5th or after, you can declare your crop a prevented planted crop, or you get into a 20-day period that's considered the late plant period. You can still plant corn after June 5th. That's one of the important things to remember. Just because it's called a final plant date for corn for crop insurance purposes, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have coverage on your corn if you plant after June 5th. So if we talk delayed plant, let's say we plant post June 5th, what that means is every day in which you plant corn after June 5th up to June 25th, you lose 1% coverage. Typically, if you're at a higher coverage level, that's going to be a better option than just saying prevented plant. I really think as a crop insurance agent and as an agency, you know, we really want that prevented plant to be kind of your last ditch effort and your last safety net that comes with late planted crops or prevented planted crops, because the way the prevented planted or prevented planting works with your RP or your YP policy there, you get 55% of your guarantee. So depending on what your guarantee is there, 55% is the most that you're going to get. And there's some other things to keep in mind, too. If you're going to look at prevented planting, we have to meet the 20-20 rule, meaning it has to be a minimum of 20 acres or 20% of the insured unit. And the other thing you have to really keep in mind is how many eligible acres you have. So your eligible acres, for example, with corn would be the highest number of reported acres that you had in the last 4 years. So if you were planning to plant all of your acres to corn and you had 50% of your acres to corn the last 4 years, that 50% would be the maximum number of eligible acres you're eligible to claim prevented planted corn. Does that make sense, Gabe?
Yeah, and with the higher coverage that people have, hopefully they're able to get into the field by June. Hopefully with the way the weather looks like this week and here in the future, a majority of that crop can get in the ground in the next 2 or 3 weeks also. So, yeah, that definitely clears up a little bit of that, and I'm sure listeners out there as well could kind of get a little bit more clarity with that as well. We focus there on corn. What does it look like for beans? Beans may not be as popular as a crop maybe to plant this year with the tariffs on us from China, and that trade war seems to never end and not have a light at the end of the tunnel. So what does it look for on the soybean side of things?
Yeah, and soybeans it essentially functions the exact same way that corn does. We just have different time frames to work in. One of the things where soybeans can come into play is, you know, let's just say it's delayed plant. I don't want to take prevent plant, but I just want to switch my crop. You can do that after that June 5th date. There's no problems there. The final plant date for soybeans is June 20th. So we're still, you know, well over a month away from the final plant date for soybeans, and then it has a late plant period of 25 days, so you can plant all the way out to June or July 15th there, and still lose some coverage after that June 20th date, but really a little further down the road from where we are with corn, but everything else works the same. If I may, though, I might want to switch back to the prevented plant just so folks understand there's, you know, a few different scenarios that could play out, I guess. And you know, one is if you take your prevent plant, like I mentioned, 55% of the guarantee if you leave your ground idle, so you don't do anything with it. You know, the other thing I mentioned is we could switch crops. You don't take a prevented planting payment on corn, you switch to soybeans. The other thing that you have to understand about late planted or delayed planting and prevented planting is if you do take a prevent plant payment on your corn and then you decide to plant soybeans on those acres that you prevented planting, for corn, there's going to be a pretty good APH hit on your corn. You're going to be assigned 60% of your prior year's APH there for 2019. So we really don't want to do that. If you take prevented planting on corn or soybeans and don't plant anything there, you don't have an APH effect. So you maintain your production history. So if that's a consideration that you might be looking at, make sure to sit down with your agent and have a conversation to make sure that any of those, what I would say, penalties don't apply or you don't get hit there with some APH restrictions.
And I guess kind of coming back and bringing it all together, here in the local area between Christian and Montgomery County, have you seen that prediction that there could be a lot of farmers' acreages going into a program that are prevented planting past these dates? Like you said, we're here mid part of May, and of course we know how the weather can be. It could switch and turn dry and be dry for the next 3 weeks, and that may not be an issue down the road, but have you seen some type of inclination that it may be utilized this year more than likely?
I would hate to guess. I would suspect there could be some areas in which that may be a concern. I really would like to believe that we're going to have a chance to get this crop in the ground. But I will say there has been a lot of, and it's picked up here in the last week or so across our entire 60 counties, and even some in Montgomery and Christian County here locally, just some questions being asked. What I want to understand what my options are, and that's what we're here for, to help folks understand those options, because this is not something that we normally deal with year to year. A lot of farmers really understand crop insurance, or are beginning to understand it the more they use it over the last 4 or 5 years as it's really evolved. But some of these little provisions, like the delayed plant provisions and the prevented planting, those are things we don't use every day, and it's really good to understand what your options are and what would be affected if I did this versus that. And that's what we're here for, so glad to help in any way possible.
Exactly, and of course, to have that safety net there, that's got to be one of those things that kind of puts a few farmers at ease, especially with everything going on in the global ag economy, not really in the favor of the farmers. And two, with this flooding, nobody can move any grain on the rivers with the river up on the barge. So I'm sure this the crop insurance and the way it's evolved is really being there to be that safety net for the farmers and making them take a sigh of relief.
Yeah, it is exactly what it is. It's a safety net, and I think with good intentions that we don't want the policy to be, we don't want farmers to plant to the policy or to make production plans to the policy. We want them to do what's best for their farm and know that crop insurance policy is there behind them to back them up in the event Mother Nature takes a turn for the worse.
Exactly. And wrapping up here, is there anything else you'd like to add, Caleb, that we haven't got an opportunity to talk about?
No, the only other thing there about, prevented planting is, cover crops have been something that, we see increase in acres over the last few years. And we've seen some of the conservation ties to crop insurance. And one thing that's unique about prevented planting acres versus just leaving them lay idle, you are allowed to plant a cover crop on those acres. Now that cover crop has to remain there. It cannot be hayed or grazed until November 1st, but that's just some other options there from a conservation weed control standpoint. If there are situations where we do have to leave ground lay for prevented planting, we can put a cover crop out there.
And again, that was Caleb May, the new regional manager of the Taylorville office of Farm Credit, Illinois. And for this Thursday morning, May 16th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.